Welcome to the Mind Your Brain podcast, where I bring you inside the mind of the best athletes in the world, so you can understand the mental secrets of their success. My guest today is my dear friend CK Mack from Hong Kong, the first Hong Konger to cross the English Channel. He's also an extreme swimmer who owns a world record, swimming a mile butterfly in iced water. How crazy is that? Let's dive deep into the mind of a great and extraordinary champion and understand the mental patterns he has developed to achieve extraordinary things one stroke at a time. Please subscribe, like, and share my podcast to support my work and make sure you don't miss the next episode. Hey, mate, very nice to see you again. Thank you so much for being with me today. So for those actually who don't know you, so you are an extreme swimmer. You are the first Hong Konger to swim across the English Channel in sub 14 hours. So that's actually pretty impressive just by itself. You are the first person to swim butterfly ice mile. So yes, you hear that well. So this is basically swimming a mile butterfly in sub 5 degrees water. You got a world record as well for crossing the Loch Ness Lake in a relay team. That's 36K or something like that. And on top of that, you got a PhD in chemistry. So you are both actually the mind and the body. So I'm very pleased actually to have you. So we know each other because we have been swimming together in Hong Kong. And I'd like to start actually with this podcast by just getting back to something that I wrote, I think it's probably in a newspaper or maybe on your website. And you say that 6 years ago, you were in the worst shape of your life. And I'm absolutely amazed by what you have accomplished within these 6-7 years. So can you tell me about this journey? Can you tell me what happened 6 years ago that triggered this change?
Yeah, thank you, Olivier, to give me this chance. It's really my pleasure to be in this program right now. 6 years ago, I finished my PhD study, and I think the crisis was built up during my PhD study when I actually took a part-time job and I became a DJ and I was a party host, actually. This is some life that I haven't told media. And I think that bad lifestyle, nightlife, and guided me to the next crisis. But at the same time, it also guided me to get out from the crisis and do something really crazy. And I graduated. I expected like a normal people that just get a job, get a good job, get pay, and then have a normal life. That's the plot most people want to do.
Yeah.
And I graduated from Germany, my PhD in chemistry. I did analytical chemistry. And my plan was to move to Czech Republic just to chill for some months and then head back to Germany once I would get a job. And I sent actually 140 job applications over 1 year.
That's commitment.
I got all rejected. I think the spirit was like channel, basically. It was like swimming channel because I got... You have no choice. It's not sport. It's not like romantic relationship. It's a professional career. Make me survive. And I cannot give up because I have to move on because I need a job to survive. This is a modern society that you have to earn money. And after all the rejections and I move around Europe and finally there were many coincidences. I stayed in Brno. I started in Brno. I decided to stay here. Brno is a city. It's the second biggest city in Czech Republic.
Okay.
And I think the I started to be in shape again because I went back to swimming, and I straight up my lifestyle. I quit that nightlife or party and normal people life, basically. I became more disciplined. I went to the pool, swam 3 or 7 kilometers 5 times a week, because I decided to take up to swim across the Balaton. And it was not a long swim, it was only 5 kilometers, but because of that goal, I pushed my body, I straight up everything. And slowly I saw the path of my life. I really see that what I can do next. I didn't know what swimming would guide me to, but I feel that that is like a light that I can get out from this lifestyle.
That's pretty interesting. I just would like to get back to what happened, because so you were in a space where you send like pretty much resumes to every possible job you could apply for, get rejected. So you get this rejection. And yeah. I mean, for a lot of people, rejection and these kind of hurdles leads to giving up, leads to depression. But what you decide to do is not that. You say, okay, I decided to straighten my life, to give up what I was doing and go into swimming. So what happened in your mind? What triggered you to take this path instead of going like downward?
I think my mind, I have a mechanism over my whole life, is I would try all kind of way, all kind of possibilities that you can count. And if I have tried all the ways that I still fail, I will conclude that, all right, it is not working. But I always talk about the Bruce Lee philosophy, to be water, to be flexible, is that when something doesn't work, it doesn't mean you are not good. It can be you try your best, you are doing everything correctly, but the environment doesn't suit you, and you don't find the right place, and then you have to just be open-minded to break through this limitation around you, the box that you set to yourself, and walk out from it and go to another place or try another discipline. At the end, I actually ended up to work as an IT customer support. So they call over, they have some, let's say the monitor is broken, not working. I just helped them to lock the ticket. I became a listener and listened to the problems every day and train up my patience, my English. And I think that was a process that I was okay. I was open enough to try even another profession to restart again. And I think the mindset is about being flexible, being open-minded to new opportunities.
Where do you think this is coming from? Is it something that was taught to you by your parents, or is it something that you had quite at an innate level? Or
I don't know if it's from my parents, because maybe they have also kind of this genetic, but out of my family, none of us is so there to try something brand new. And I think the influential point was when I was a teenager, I watched documentary about Bruce Lee. Mm. And then I was 16 years old, and it talks about his philosophical martial art form is Jeet Kune Do. And the philosophy is using no way as way, having no limitation as limitation. And I was in puberty and teenager, 16 years old, I really took it up and thought that there shouldn't be any boundaries in life. If there are, you can still push through it. And I have been practicing this, I believe, from 18 years old, and again, keep pushing through, changing environment, taking risks, and don't care about to make mistakes. I think also full optimism is helping me to move on. And of course, there were so many hurdles in life, but I heard that when you're still young, you can take risks still, because the stack is not so high yet. When you are like 40, 50 years old, then you have full of responsibility in life. If you make a small mistake, then then it will be bigger. So I was like, okay, I'm still young and I have to move on and do something new.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. I like this philosophy, actually, and that's a very good one, very inspiring one to have. So back to your journey. So you decided to go back into swimming, and your first challenge was to cross so this 5K body of water. What is called again? Sorry, what's the name?
It's called Balaton. It's the biggest fresh lake in the Central Europe or in the Europe.
Okay.
The whole length is actually 60 something kilometer, but I didn't swim that because it's a leisure race in Hungary. Mm. That on that day there were 9,000 people swimming okay. that crossing the Balaton. Even though you're a leisure swimmer, it's just a culture there in Hungary that everyone wants to swim across Balaton. Yeah. They make it commercial, like running marathon in Hong Kong, but in Hungary it was the swimming. And yeah, 5 kilometer, not a long one, but it was long for me at that point of life after 9 years break of race.
So how cold was the water?
I believe it was not cold because everyone could do the leisure swimming and probably, I guess, 26, 7 degrees. So normal temperature.
Okay. So how did swimming actually change your life?
I believe that during the process, every day I went to swimming pool. And when I focused my stroke, my kicking, my body positions, basically it act like a meditation to me. Mm. And when you focus on these fundamental elements during the movement, I think it does like this in most of the sport. And when I focus on my fundamental elements, breathing, I realize that they are, for me, when even I do meditation, this there were some ideas flowing through my mind, in and out. And then it's when I have some questions about my life, of course, sometimes it works with swimming, sometimes it doesn't. But I told myself, there are problems, there are so many issues in life, but it's like Michael Phelps said, when you go to the pool, you won't have problems in water. Water doesn't give you any problems. Water is helping you to figure out some solutions, actually. And usually, I said, all right, I have problems. I got rejected by the job. I just go for a swim first and we'll see. And after swim, usually, I have some new idea pop up and try to sort it out. Maybe it's just not my work. It's just my profile is not good enough. It's just not my country. And then try something else and keep pushing. And during the process, I keep seeing through the light, basically at the end of the tunnel. And I think swimming simply does something like meditation to me for the normal swimming at the beginning. But later, when it went to ice swimming and extreme long distance, then it was another kind of meditation that I had.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what you say about getting this meditative state through swimming is extremely interesting. And you can pretty much get the same kind of feeling when you do like a long ride or a long run, for example. I don't know if you have heard of this this guy from Stanford University. He's a professor at Stanford University. He's called Andrew Huberman. He has discussed a lot about the importance of breathing and how it relaxes the body and it helps as well to get focus, as well as the importance of like relaxing the eyes and just look at the horizon. And this is something in a way that we are doing when we swim, because we do that. We focus on the breathing. Your eyes are not distracted by anything close because you don't see much anyway. So I guess it helps getting in a kind of trance, that helps reaching this super deep level of focus that really help us to think through a problem without being hijacked by our emotion or all the distraction around us.
Yeah, that's a good principle. I think it fit what I had. And I couldn't bring this principle or theory because I didn't know that it exists and it's your specialty, man. And I believe it makes good sense.
So tell me about when did you decide to move into ice swimming? Because as you say, I mean, that's a different level. What did come from? What did come first for you? It was the ice swimming or the long distance swimming? What did come first?
It came simultaneously, but I think slightly ice swimming first. The changing point of my swimming life was that I met my coach, Rostislav Vitek. I always mention his name, try to tell his story in all media. Without him, I wouldn't swim like this today. And so he was in 2008 Olympic game 10 kilometer. He swam 15 years professionally in all the ultra marathon. And I met him here. Coincidentally, really had luck in Brno. Such a great coach, great legends in the open water swimming. He lives here. It started from I went to a swimming shop to buy a swimsuit here in the swim pool. And the boss likes Asian a lot. He's really open-minded. He watched Korean career here. And he told me, I asked him, hey, can you recommend me some coach for 10 kilometer? Training because after that Balaton swim, I was impressed by how fast the competitors were. After that Balaton swim, I went to another Balaton race in the same lake. It was the FINA World Championships Masters for the master for my age categories. So it was only 3 kilometers. We did the laps. I was impressed how fast they could do. And I was like, why people had belly or like they didn't look like the typical swimmer, but they had such a great propulsions in water. And I realized I try all the best I know in Hong Kong. I learned how to swim, how to train. And I was so slow and struggle in water. There should be something wrong about my techniques, anything that I was sure that I couldn't move on in swimming if I didn't get a coach. So I met my coach and he told me, yeah, it's easy for me to train you. It's like training a baby beginner. So, and I give you program every day, see you 1 hour per week and it would be okay. And I told him, dude, I didn't have money. I'm still jobless after graduation, got rejected. I don't know if I can afford such a great coach. And he told me, don't worry, it's okay. Pay me 1 hour per week and then and we'll see. It will be okay. Don't stress about the money. And he really had a kind heart. And I think along the training he gave to me, of course, the training is another big topic, how he trained me. And after some months, so every day 5 kilometers and 5 days per week. After 4 or 5 months, it was a winter. And every day he told me, hey man, I was in ice water this morning. It was really cold. I was like, how long were you in ice water? Like 5 minutes is enough. It's really intensive. He kept telling me this every day for 1 month. And then it came to it December. Before the new year start, I've told myself I have to give it a try and see what is it. Because it's my personality as a scientist to experiment.
To explore, yeah.
Exactly. And I went with my previous flatmate. He's from France. And he drove me to the biggest lake in Brno. And then I went for a dip there, my first ice dip in life. There was no ice yet, but the water was 5 degrees. And when I jumped in, it was like got stuck by so many knives and everywhere was so painful. The heart went up, the heartbeat, the heart pumped the blood. And it was so painful just half minute
when
I try to swim there. And I was like, how can people do 1 hour there? This is not like it was out of my scope. Of course, later I did 1 mile in butterfly, but I still remember how painful that 1 minute was when the first time I went to the ice water still. And that was how I started.
So how did you tame this pain? Because, I mean, 5 degrees, it's 5 degrees. So how do you adapt? How do you accept what the water tells you? Because at the end of the day, this pain is just an information that is sent to your body. But it triggers a lot of like physiological changes that are very hard to control. Almost like reflex kind of physiological changes. So how do you pass that?
Actually, yeah, it was interesting how I actually move on along the ice swimming way. Initially, after that dip, I told myself, that was so painful. I wouldn't go back again. This is too crazy. Why people do it? I never understand it. And after 2 months, my coach wrote me again, do you want to go to the lake full of ice right now on Sunday morning for a dip? Because he wrote me, so I got more motivated because of this message. And I went to a lake full of ice, and the water was 1 degree. It was really with ice. They have to dig out the ice and swim, the people in that town. And he didn't appear, interestingly. And I went there on my own and swam 3 minutes. He told me, 3 minutes this time, that is enough. You don't have to go deep in and out again, but only one shot, 3 minutes, come out and go home. And I did it. My fingers got burned this numbness for 2 days. Wow. And or 1 week somewhere, like on the toe. And I really like, this is so painful, only 3 minutes like this. And then he wrote me one day after 3 weeks from that, he wrote me one day, hey, you are registered in the river for 250 meters. And that was a week which was minus 20 degrees. And the open river, I arrived there, they told me the water was 0 degree flowing.
Oh, gosh.
I was like, okay, maybe that's normal. I saw hundreds of people were there in the race, in the event. And I was like, everyone is doing it. And it should be like absolutely within the human ability that you can do it. Because they were doing 1 kilometer. I started with 250. And I was like, that was really painful. And all this suffer and pain I got, I still didn't get the people there yet. I was like kind of motivated to be there because of my coach. And then I started to get it after 1 year or 2 years of practice in ice water every week in winter, 2-3 times in the cold water. And I started to, he didn't really tell me any tricks at all. I just started it for some times. Then I started to go with him together to the river. And he told me that first, go in, don't swim yet, sit there in the ice water and focus on your breathing.
Mm-hmm. So
breathe in and breathe out. And then I was screaming actually still at the first time. I was like, no, that was painful. And he calmed me down, looked into my eyes like, breathe. Breathe in, breathe out. And then he said, now, don't put your head down. Slowly swim breaststroke with the head up. And after 1 minute, he said, now you can slowly put your head down and swim breaststroke. And then you can slowly change to freestyle. And so what I did, the mistake, the first several experimental ice swim was, I went in, I sprinted instantly.
Mm.
I thought that it would generate a hit to my body to went against the ice. But later I realized that it didn't work like this. It worked like you have to have a calm mind to concentrate on your breathing, on some fundamental reactions, and overcome the first minute cold shocking. And I realized that only when I got 10 swim, then he really sat down with me in the river to sort out the parameters.
And did that improve all the numbness in your feet and your fingers as well? Or this is something that you adapt to because you have been swimming a lot? Or did this breathing technique really help as well just to avoid this numbness?
I think this numbness exists no matter what kind of breathing, what kind of mindset meditation you do in ice water. It really, your body just really adapt to it. But don't do it, overdo it the first time.
Yeah.
If you don't have much experience in ice water, first time go to there, 3 minutes, came out.
Mm-hmm.
Or even less. And slowly increase, next time 4. But there's like a limit that if the water is under 5 degrees, it's enough if you are there 10 minutes that you have to go out. You only save that for some special challenges. In the normal training, maximum 10 or 5 minutes is really good for your health. And then this numbness, it will be gone after you practice it for 1 season or 2 seasons in ice swimming. So we talk about season because you can only have this environment for five months every year. When the season ended, you have to do some other kind of swimming.
Mm-hmm.
So it really takes time and patience. And I think something big that you don't see the result right in front of you. And my coach told me all the time, it doesn't matter right now too much today, but you have to do it every day, weeks, months, years, then you can achieve something big.
That's very, very inspiring because I think we are in a society now where people expect immediate gratification, instant gratification. And what you're describing, adapting yourself to ice swimming, is a very good metaphor as well for life. Like, do it regularly, get this discipline, experiment, get the advice for people who already know, go step by step, and don't necessarily expect something to happen right away. That's a gradual change. Something is happening inside you, and then at some point, you reach the result. Did you happen to enjoy being in cold water, or did you always have to kind of like fight this pain and this hard feeling of cold?
At the beginning, it was not so enjoyable for me. It was mainly pain and suffer. But once again, my coach has a special way of training that he didn't allow to overtrain.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say he would tell me, if you don't feel well today, just go inside how you want and come out when you don't feel comfortable. And he always emphasized that in training, don't go over the suffer and pain you have. Mm-hmm. It's okay to have it 50% that you feel comfortable with this and you come out. When sometimes you feel really in good conditions and you can push a bit more, and it's enjoyable in the way that the enjoyable moment is after every dip, you came out from the water, you got the dopamine rush, adrenaline rush, and all the pain and things, you get hyperactive naturally. Yeah. And it is the enjoyable moment that you embrace for some hours or whole day from 5 minute deep, actually. And he emphasized that the painful moment will exist when you go for a race or you go for a swim challenge. Mm-hmm. On that special day, you push the limit. Then there suffer a pain, but of course, make sure the environment is safe. There is some boat supporting staff that they can get you up, yep, get you out from water if you have problems. And then there will be suffer, pain, but you have to push through it. And you have to, he told me that the sentence, swim easy, control your stroke, control your breathing, control your heart rate. That's what he told me all the time at the beginning.
So how did you decide to go for the butterfly eye smile? Your background is in butterfly, right?
When I was young, I was a butterfly in Hong Kong. I swam in inter-university this swimming competitions, 50-meter butterfly, 100-meter butterfly.
Yeah.
And later here, I swam long distance, 10 kilometer, 20 kilometer. I swam in ice water.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a scientist, I study a subject called analytical chemistry. And within this analytical chemistry, actually what I did in laboratory is called hybridization, hyphenations, and combining different machines and the advantage together and bring them together to mix the things, the technologies. And I have this attitude in swimming as well. Try to be creative, to create some event that people haven't actually thought about it. And it looks like crazy enough, but it should be doable. And I started before the ice mile butterfly. I did a normal ice mile 1 year before that, the butterfly one. And that was painful enough. The first ice mile, I spent 31 minutes in 3.5 degree water in the river in Prague in freestyle. And I came out, it was close to the status of blackout.
Yep.
It was so painful that I couldn't explain that you wanted to vomit, you wanted to black out, but I focused on my breathing once again and tried to get back to the status. Of course, my teammate were helping. We were next to the heater with burning the wood right next to you, giving you hot drinks and cover you, help you recover.
What keeps you going actually when you're in the water, like 3 degrees, 3.5 degrees, it's 1.6K swimming. And for a lot of people, that's already a challenge in itself in 24 degrees water. What keeps you going? Because there is a point, I suppose, where the pain is so intense, then everything in your body cries like, quit, leaves the water right now. So how do you deal with that?
That feeling didn't went with me in the normal ice mile in freestyle.
Okay.
And it was, first I swam against the current. And after halfway, 800 meters, I swam with the current together. Okay. So overall, the distance would be the same, like because of the effect. And my aim is to survive the first 800 meter against the currents. And I was concentrating. It's like martial art, ancient fictions in Hong Kong. I concentrate the power from my core to my arms, to my palms, where to actually you make the stroke to push you forward. And I breathe in and push the water. And I focus once again, heart rate, stroke, and breathing. Nothing else. Just focus on these parameters. You keep swimming. And after 800 meters, I know that I swam through against the current, and that's the time to have fun, to sprint. So I sprint back with the water together. I said, now I finished more than halfway, basically, if you swam against 800 meters of the current. I swam back with really high power. My teammate was shocked because how can you still sprint after this? Because I said, yeah, let's finish a swim, enjoy, celebrate, and go. And I think that swim was fun to me, but I had another friend is a British man in Prague. He swam with me together parallel at the beginning, and later I got away from him. I was faster than him some minute because he was 47 years old back then, 2 years ago. And he went back to the room, the heating room. He told me, I would never do it again. It's crazy. It's too painful. And he really didn't do any more. I smiled, but that status to push through, it didn't exist in that one, but mm-hmm. in I Smile Butterfly or in English Channel, it exists that moment that, hey, how about I quit right now? Yeah. I always ask this question. This is crazy. It's too painful. Why am I here? And for example, in I Smile Butterfly, there was a moment, so 1.6 kilometer in butterfly in 5 degree water. In a short court pool, course pool, 25 meter pool. And I had the crisis after 500 meters. And I was swimming butterfly, and then I looked at the length. I was like, still, I have 1 kilometer to go with these mm-hmm. conditions. And so cold. But then I told myself once again, concentrate on breathing, the stroke. Yeah. And my coach told me my butterfly, I should not use my shoulders. I should use my body, my core. And relax your shoulders, relax your arms, and keep doing it. Then after some time, it was 1 kilometer already.
Yeah.
And then I was like, still, they are 500 meters. Oh, my God. It's so painful. And I think I still had memory up to 1,200 meters. The last 400, I lost my memory from wow. it, actually. I really didn't remember it. And I know what happened only by watching the videos itself. And then that's why I couldn't recall that mental status at all, because I think up to a point there was only this white noise in my head. I don't know. I really couldn't recall the memory of that swim, actually.
So that's very interesting, because your subconscious mind could have decided to quit and to stop. But instead, actually, you went autopilot and just like went and yes. finished through the swim.
Yeah, it was autopilot. And I was surprised by watching the video. I know I finished the swim. It was not like autopilot, keep going.
Yep.
I know that I finished the swim and went up from waters, and I was surprised. Wow, this is impressive. This is my program in my head.
You know, this is actually something that people don't often realize. This is the power of the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is 4,000 times more powerful than the conscious mind. So when we reach a state where all the internal algorithm are supporting our projects, our goals, our objectives, our dreams, then the subconscious mind kind of like takes over and makes things happen anyway and regardless of the external situation. And the second thing that you say that is very interesting as well, it has been shown very recently as well that we quit not only because there is a lack of goal or because of cognitive things as well, but there is apparently a science of quitting. And because you're a chemist as well, I want to discuss that with you, because apparently what happens is when we go for long distance effort, whether this is sport or this is like a mental effort, like something that can happen in the office as well, the body is going to secrete a lot of like norepinephrine just to get the fly and fight response to make sure that the body actually get ready for action, up to a point where there is a part in our brain that constantly monitor the level of norepinephrine. And when the level of norepinephrine is actually reached, the subconscious mind, the brain actually takes over and send like a quit signal and can hijack the conscious mind and basically make you quit without your conscious awareness. However, what has been shown as well is that the best way to offset the level of norepinephrine, this is to inject dopamine. And the best way to inject dopamine is by acknowledging that you are on the right path. So this is very similar to what you said about, okay, now I'm at the 800 meters. Now I know this is all fun and pleasure. So when you do that, what you do is you inject actually dopamine into your brain, and you can like offset this level of norepinephrine. While the other guy who was swimming with you, it probably the other way around, like you guys are swimming side by side. So he's like, okay, I'm doing okay because I'm swimming with CK now. Turn around and then you accelerate. And his brain is like, okay, now we've got to quit because if there is no injection of dopamine, seeing you like flying away.
Yeah. It's really interesting, I think, how the brain works in this chemical level. I'm not organic chemist, so I think it makes really good sense and really interesting how the brain works with this, because I had the same feeling in English channel. I think it does this mechanism in my brain as well as what you said. It's, there was a moment I wanted to quit two times. I've omitted everything out from my stomach. Of course, in English channel, you are not allowed to touch a boat. Right. You can only eat and drinks along the way from your friends and coach by modified fishing pole to hook you some drinks and food. And I've omitted two times, at one time at 4 hours, one time at 8 hours. And once again, there was this switching point after 10 hours. I saw France 2 miles away, 3.3 kilometers away. I could see it from my eyes. It was really close. And I pointed, I had suffered. I all that 10 hours I gone through vomited. I vomited, my shoulders were sore, my elbow were sore, my forearms, both legs, left, right, upper leg, lower leg cramping, everything. And when I saw France, I know that is the finish, man. Celebrate it and sprint right now. That is a training I gave from my coach that I can sprint after a long distance. And like so-called sprint, actually. But when I watch your videos, I was not sprinting. It's just my mindset that I was sprinting.
Exactly.
And and my coach told me, last 3 kilometers right now, follow the boats. And it's like the movie, like this really motivating movies. He trained me 3 years and now we came to this crazy moment that you have to push through at that moment. And he told me, now is the last 50 meters, swim like 50 meters right now, last 2 miles. And then I went detour and went through, have to exit the tide there in France to land the beach. At the end, with that status, it was 4 hours swim. So I swam 4 hours like this at the end with no pain, no suffer, just sprint. And but the first 10 hours, you got suffer, you had crisis and pain, everything. So I think at that moment that my subconscious mind, is it working like this? I want to verify how it works. So my subconscious mind sent it to some dopamine injections to not allow myself to quit. And probably it's this kind of mechanism is how you cheat your brain when you cheat your brain. The goal is there. We can celebrate, drink whiskey and everything at the end.
Exactly. This is all about acknowledging and celebrating all the milestones that show that you're on the right path, because you can inject actually this dopamine constantly. You actually do that consciously. Like when you convince yourself you're on the right path, and it's not like positive talking. This is not like I am winning. You know, this is like really acknowledging evidences, clues, cues that you're on the right path, which is exactly what you said. Say, I can see the light. Now I know that I'm good at sprinting. I can go for that. And right away, your brain is like, yes, okay, we've got that. Being injection of dopamine. And that really helps actually releasing all that. That's the kind of thing you can use as well. Using, for example, visualization. Are you doing some kind of like a specific technique? So you mentioned a bit of meditation as well. Are you doing visualization or any other thing like that?
You mean meditations or?
Visualization or?
Visualization, yes, I did. That's a good point because I arrived England 2 weeks before. There was one day my coach said, all right, today let's watch videos today. The video was how he reached France. And he told me that now we are in channel 2 weeks. You already trained in Czech Republic. I swam 7 hours in swimming pool. He said, the physical training has been done. Now it's about visualization these 2 weeks. Where now we are in the channel, we go to the beach with the same salt water, temperature, wave, and don't ignore them or ignore all these factors. Think about how the stone looked like in France, how it looks like when you will reach the shore, and visualize it. Also, I visualize the process, how it would be. And he said that visualization is so important in high-level performance. And he said, my job was to visualize how to finish the swim. And of course, I've visualized the whole process, how I would be. Of course, later, when in reality, that was much more painful and they were much more suffer than I visualized. And then I visualized actually there was a stone. I reached there and climbed up the stone. And at the end, I reached a really nice sand beach in France. And then it's like, I visualized one thing, but and the reality became different.
But it worked anyway. That really helped you to go through this this hardship. And yeah, and to your point, visualization is absolutely essential. The brain cannot really tell the difference between what we do, what we see, what we imagine. So with the right process, and this is what you mentioned here, like visualizing the process, visualizing how you want to feel, how it will feel when you will get there, trying to involve as much as possible your five senses into the experience is the best way to hack the brain. And that's obviously very powerful. And there is another thing that I wanted to discuss with you as well, because, I mean, you always say, okay, when I swim, I want to keep it fun. If there is no fun, there is no fun in the process, I'm not swimming. And I think this is probably another thing that contributes to your success as well, like keeping it fun, keeping it entertaining, because that's inject a lot of serotonin, a lot of dopamine, and that gives you on the right mindset to accomplish what you accomplish.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if there is no fun, I'm not going to swim. And my coach told me, you chose to be here in the channel. It is your own choice to be here. You chose this way. And sometimes I had some doubt, like sometimes it's overwhelming still, because I could have a normal life sitting in the office and chill and have my beers on my hand and be comfortable. But my good friends might know that I'm not such a person. If I do this, it's not really me. And then it went, and I went in our extreme that I went to some challenge with some pain and suffer. Sometimes I really want to quit because like, oh my God, but you're in the halfway right now. When the preparations, it's most of the time you spend, the stress, you prepare half years for a swim. If you quit right now, it doesn't make sense. Like it's not responsible for yourself. And try to enjoy it. And everyone told me in the English channel, enjoy every stroke you have. Feel like you are hugged by the universe, by the oceans, every stroke. Yeah. Enjoy is like a journey you went for a hiking or something. I had that mentality went in, of course, for first 3 hours, and then the crisis hit. There is crisis, even though it's really fun swim, and there is crisis. But I think what is more fun is to look back and digest the experience. When I saw the sunrise came. After 5 hours swim, I realized, I again set this small milestone to my head to inject dopamine. I convinced myself, sun has arrived. It's a new hope. It's a new day. It brings you energy. It brings you heat. It brings up the temperature of the air. And then I saw these milestones and I enjoy it. It's the nature. It's the way how you talk with the natures, how human is just part of it. And also about other swimming butterflies, it's really for fun because I love to swim butterfly so much. I love ice water and then I bring it together for fun. And I don't know what's next somehow, but yeah, I swim for fun. Otherwise, you don't do it. I don't do it because, of course, I want to achieve a certain achievement. I want to make something big and finish the swim. But more behind is the passion you have,
yeah,
that you just love to do it. It's something that one of my Russian friends, we were a sparring partner in martial art in Germany, and he told me that passion is something, you do something that even though you are not paying, you're not getting paid, but even though you pay for doing this, you still do it. It is the real fun things. And swimming for me is like I can pay money and do a lot of crazy swim. I still love it because it's the source of my life and backbone of my life. When you have such a great happiness from one discipline of your life, then all the pillars in your life are lift up. And yeah, that's so I swim for fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very inspiring talk. And it's true that sometimes we believe, you know, that we will be happy when we reach a certain point. But actually what you're saying is that this happiness, this joy, this is actually more about enjoying the journey. And yes, at some point there is an outcome, there is a result, but this is kind of like a natural result, a natural outcome, a byproduct of the fact that you enjoy the journey.
Yes, I think the process is more important than the result itself. But still, most of the journalists, they are writing the result only, the medias we are exposing to. And the process is the real things that you have to enjoy. And if neglecting what kind of result you have, if you enjoy the journey, you win already. You gain something in your life. And if you make it, it was a bonus. It's just like the successful outcome is just a bonus of you enjoy the process. And that's what I truly believe. And well, of course, there's like this champion mentality that I always quote Bruce Lee quotations. He said, we learn the way to win, but never to accept the way to lose. What he means is you have to learn, you know, the way how to win, but still you must accept the way that you can lose.
Yes.
And if you have this mentality to take risks, you are there to lose, then you go all out and then it increases the chance to be successful at the end.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is so important to accept losing, to accept our failure. Because in fact, it's not the end of a journey. This is just one way that you have learned that something is not working, which means you can explore another way. Or there is a lesson that you need to learn from failing or from not achieving something. What is the biggest lesson that you have learned from failing?
What is the biggest lessons I've learned in failing? From failures, I think I learned to sustain the endurance, that even though you fail and you still have to stand up and move on. And the time you fail is just the process that if you do bit by bit, day by day, weeks, months, years, and if you still fail, then you have to accept it. But you really did your best and you accept it, and then it's still part of the journey that you lose, you fail. But it's part of the life. If you don't fail, you don't have good moment. Fails lead you to move on. Failures and negative moment guide you to good moment in life. Of course, sometimes good moment guide you to crisis as well. Then it always simultaneously good and bad things are happening at the same time. It's like the Tao in Chinese philosophy. And there are failures. And at the same time, when you have failures, you also have success at the same time simultaneously happening in your life, in your swim, in your challenges. And you just, maybe I have the optimism But sometimes I had moment of depression as well. Mm-hmm. I had crisis in life, and it's okay that you have to know that all the good and bad, positive, negatives are happening at the same time, then you don't get stuck by just looking at the crisis and the failures itself. And that's like a Taoism philosophy, I would say.
Yeah, yes, I like that. And but makes me think of one of the things you said in the newspaper. You say believe in destiny, have faith, something like that. And that's a lot about accepting. It's a lot about acceptance, accepting what is happening to us, learning from that. It has nothing to do with giving up. It has nothing to do with retiring. And this is pretty much the other way around. This is like enjoying the journey, accepting the journey. And it reminds me of a documentary that is called The Hero's Journey. I don't know if you have seen this one.
I haven't seen this one.
Yeah, I think that's a book originally from, I think it's Joseph Campbell. And he basically explained the journey of a hero, and every hero basically follows the same kind of circle. We usually start being in a position which is okay, kind of average, and then something happens. There is a call. There is a call from life. So this is usually this metaphor, this phone booth ringing, and the hero does not answer the call, you know. And then for this call to be answered, something very bad needs to happen. Needs to be a tornado, an accident, something like that. But basically push the hero into a very uncomfortable, very bad situation. And the only way for the hero to survive, basically, this is to slay the dragon. And eventually slay the dragon. And by slaying the dragon, what the hero realizes, he found his superpower. But the superpower is always something that was there inside him. He found actually this inner resource to fight this dragon, but this dragon actually fights the dragon just by accepting in reality. And then the hero goes back, it's a full circle, as now the hero is equipped with his superpower that was always there in reality, and that he got through acceptance. And then he go back to where he was originally, but then he's equipped with his new power, and then he can do something better for the community.
Oh, wow, that's really kind of, I'm not the superhero, that I don't have superpower, of course.
I think you're a superhero, mate.
It's the reality that I'm just a normal person. I think I try to convince that even a normal person can do something really great. It's just you need the right way and mentality and training. That's what I try to promote, the positivities of a good mindset to people. But I think to accepting it, the acceptance I had is, it's a bit like a belief I had. I haven't told to journalists because they would think I'm really crazy. Because in Czech Republic, officially there's no religions. So around the countries, most of them are Catholic countries. They believe in Jesus and God. And here in Czech Republic, they believe in the universe, in the karma that you have. And before my swim in the channel, there are three different, this kind of guru or even my yoga teacher, they told me this wisdom from India, and they believe in this Indian things and belief. And they told me that I swam under the full moon, actually. It's really exactly the full moon. And they told me, so look at the full moon, draw the power from it, tell your wish to the full moon. It will amplify your wish. And before I jump into the water, start the channel swimming, I talk with the sea, actually. Mm-hmm. I talk with the oceans. I talk with the moon. I told that, all right, let's have a deal right now. Give me the path. No wind, no wave, please. I know there are jellyfish here. I am just a guest. Let me go. I won't harm you, and don't harm me, please. And in return, if in the futures I might contribute to some ocean projects as a scientist, I don't know yet, but I promise do something good to the oceans, do something good to the people, bring good ideas and positive energy to the world. That was a deal. And at the end, there was really no wind, no wave, no jellyfish. it's the suffer itself is from my own body, really, my own suffer. And it really gave me the way. It lighted me up the way I saw the moon during my swim. And it's like a belief that how I cracked the brain, of course, psychologically, and how I accepted that it will be the destiny you swim across it. And of course, after I swim across it, I realized, oh my God, all these wishes came true like this. I have to make the deals like this. I promised the ocean, the moon, bring good energy, bring good ideas. So I must make the deal. Otherwise, I will have problems in life right now.
I might know the exact right person for you, actually.
Yeah.
I interviewed recently Bruckner Chase, who is very, very involved in the open water environment things. And I will connect you with him. So maybe there is something you guys can do together.
Yes, please. I try to do these projects because otherwise I feel that the karma will hit me. If I close a deal, they give me the way. I have to do something right now.
Well, I mean, we are almost done with this podcast, and I really, really enjoyed this conversation. I wish we can carry on, but definitely we will talk again when you come back to Hong Kong. But before we finish this podcast, I really would like to acknowledge you for having done so much already for the ocean, for inspiring other people. So I don't know if you really have to be involved in a specific project, but just the fact that you have been the first person in Hong Kong to cross the English Channel, all these things that you have done, this record with the Ice Butterfly, this is so inspiring, but it has an impact on a lot of people around you, and I would like to acknowledge you for that. I would like to acknowledge you as well for being such a chilled and relaxed person and still getting the jobs done. And that's a very powerful message. And I would like to acknowledge you as well for this spiritual connection that you have with everything you do. I didn't know this part of you, but I think that makes you even like more human. And I really like that, mate. So my very last question to you is, if you had the opportunity to go back in time and meet a young version of yourself, at what age would you go back in time? And with the wisdom of today, what would you tell yourself?
I think I won't tell any advice. I would just let it to move on. I would just observe it and know that, hey, it will guide you to be a good way, please. Like, it will be all right. And I won't interrupt it, because if I interrupt at any point, it won't guide me to today adventures and the today happiness. It was such a big crisis. But maybe I would talk with myself 6 years ago. I would tell myself, it's okay, dude. It's part of the process. It will guide you to be something really extraordinary at the end. And just keep doing it and don't give up. And I won't tell any advice what to do, of course, but I will talk with that person that it will be really great at the end.
So, CK, thanks a lot, mate. That was super inspiring and amazing conversation with you. I love you, mate. Have a great day.
I love you. Thank you so much, Olivier. I enjoyed the conversation. So, have a great day, man.
And if you have enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share with a friend and subscribe. See you in the next episode.